Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
A delegation of supporters of President Ibrahim Traoré traveled to Burkina Faso. You will hear from the head of delegation, Attorney Malik Shabazz. The UNIA will hold its 60th International Convention in Washington, D.C., and you are invited. On August 25th and 26th, let's fill up the Montgomery County Circuit Court to stop HOC and the developer from dismissing the Moses African Cemetery lawsuit. Stay tuned. Good morning, and I am your host, Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo, the host of What's at Stake, the fourth Wednesday of each month. Our first guest is Baba Mosi Metsamela, President, Woodson Banneker Jackson Bay Division 330 UNIA ACL. Baba Mosi, welcome to What's at Stake.
Thank you, Mama Ngozi.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, welcome this morning. Well, you're the president of the UNIA in the Washington, D.C. area.
Well, let me make a distinction here.
Okay.
Woodson Banneker Jackson Bay Division number 330 of the UNIA ACL Rehabilitating Committee 2020, to be clear. You know, that's just to be clear because there are several things, or I should say entities, around claiming to be UNIA ACL.
Okay,
no, gotcha. No problem with them, you know, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad you made the distinction. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So maybe just as a tutorial, could you provide for our audience who may not really know that much about Marcus Garvey and why he continues to be an important figure internationally? What are the core bases, or what are the framework? What is the Garvey framework, and what does this organization advocate for?
You know, whenever we have a presentation anywhere, we try to inform people of our mission, and that can only come from the Constitution that was, you know, promulgated in 1920 in New York City at the convention, first convention of the UNIA ACL. And the preamble to that Constitution is what gives an overall picture of what we're all about. So if you don't mind, I'll just do a quick read here so that this will clear everything. The Universal Improvement Association African Communities League is a social, friendly, humanitarian, charitable, educational, institutional, constructive, and expansive society, and is founded by persons desiring to the utmost to work for the general uplift of the Negro peoples of the world. And the members pledge themselves to do all in their power to conserve the rights of their noble race and to respect the rights of all mankind, believing always in the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. The motto of the organization is one God, one aim, one destiny. Therefore, let justice be done to all mankind, realizing that if the strong oppresses the weak, confusion and discontent will ever mark the path of man. But with love, faith, and charity towards all, the reign of peace and plenty will be heralded into the world, and the generations of man shall be called blessed. Now, that's the founder, the forefathers, the people who put together the Constitution and who started the UNIA ACL as a body with a Constitution.
And if you could provide or talk about how that Constitution is still relevant in the 21st century. I mean, you know, how do people extrapolate what you just read to make sense of our lives now in the 21st century?
Well, of course, that's because although things have changed somewhat, much of it remains the same for African people. And you know, with African people, we still have that struggle. We still have that struggle because, you know, there's the struggle for self-determination and self-representation. You know, there's a war against us, you know, cultural, economical, and you name it. And as you see that's going on in Africa and other places, there is still that need for African people to come together in unity to fight against the oppressors, those who would want us, who would want to keep in their power all our resources, and even our human as well as mineral, etc. So even the country, they would still want to control Africa, for instance. The entire continent is now at war with those who want to control the resources of Africa. So the struggle continues, and the UNIACL, what we're doing is raising the consciousness of people to remain focused towards unity of Africa and Africans. It has not changed. So you know, we're continuing that fight.
Are you inspired by what you are observing in, for example, Burkina Faso or the Alliance of Sahel States, where, new leadership, young leadership is declaring independence from neocolonial forces? How does that, in terms of what you're observing in Africa right now, how does that fit into sort of the Garvey protocol or motif?
Well, of course, that's a good example of what continues to happen with the colonialists or the ex-colonialists or the enemies, the oppressors, those who want to control Africa. That's a good example of what is happening, and it's a good example of the struggle against them, of a young person who I would think might have read Garvey and others, and who wants self-determination, and who wants Africa to control and everything by African people. So it's no doubt that that's a good example. He's doing what Africans should be doing everywhere, and that is determining where what we want for the future, how we should control ourselves, and what's ours.
Now, UNIA has a conference that's coming up. Can you talk a little bit about the conference, the date, the time? What the goal of the conference will be, how people can learn more. This is your 67th UNIA International Conference, as I understand
Yes,
it. Okay.
it's 67th International Convention.
Convention. Okay.
Yes,
Can you
and well,
talk a
we
little
come
bit about that?
together annually, and this has been happening since 1920, but this is the 67th because you know, there were breaks in between, and so but we continue to do the work. We come together. Delegates come from different what we call divisions, which is or you know, different groups, different well, some people they call them in other words, let's say they're like divisions are I am trying to remember the word here that they use for different anyway,
Delegates.
pardon?
Delegates.
Well, the delegates are coming from the different divisions out of the different
There
states
you go.
that they're in, and they're going to be coming together, and whatever they have in mind for changes or to project the future, they will discuss these things. These proposals are usually made, and decisions have to be made on these proposals, and so we come together, discuss these things, and then make our decision. So that this is the decision process that we're having here at the convention. And that's coming up August 13th. The beginning first date is August 13th, and we're having a closed session. Those are closed sessions when we have delegates discussing matters, business matters. On that's Thursday. Thursday the 14th, we have a youth conference, which is open to the community. And this is happening at eLife Restaurant in Capitol Heights. And that's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
What day is
Friday?
It?
I'm sorry.
I was asking what day.
That's Thursday, August 14th.
Okay.
And then Friday, August 15th, it's another closed session for our delegates discussing matters. And we on Friday night, though, we have Proverbs Reggae Band. We also have African Marketplace, Eli Food Sales. And there's an admission fee for that, but that's part of the entertaining part of what we do during the convention. And I'm sure people have heard of Proverbs Reggae Band. You know, it's quite popular here in Washington, D.C. On Saturday, 16th, there is of August, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we also have a closed session then. That's only for delegates. And from 1 to 6 p.m. on that same Saturday, we have a tribute to the legacy of Runoko Rashidi. Runoko Rashidi is that very famous historian. Runoko Rashidi was also the traveling ambassador for the UNIACL IC 2020. He has traveled to over 100 plus countries in the world, and he's a world lecturer as well, and he's the one who took hosted him. He's now an ancestor. But we are having this tribute to his legacy on that day, on the Saturday, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., that is. And so we'll be having people there such as Tony Browder, Paul Coates, Nkechi Taifa, our President General Akili Nkrumah, First Assistant President Sengor Baye, Minister of Education Tendai Johnson. And we like to have some musicians and entertainers like drummer Jabari Exum, singer Free Benjamin. We also have a rapper, Jabari Shaw, and we have food sales and African Marketplace. That is not the entire list, but those are some of the people who will be there.
Right.
And then on Sunday, we have what we call a drumathon, where drummers from different countries, where we have groups, or divisions, or even if they're not part of the UNIACL, we have folks who are getting together to drum at a specific time as a drumathon. That's why we call it the drumathon. They're all over the world and they're drumming. They're drumming towards that's the birthday, by the way, of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That's the 17th. And so we're having that's having as well. That's in at eLife Restaurant right there in Capitol Heights.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, thank you.
Basically, that's it.
I assume the WPFW audience is invited to this event.
Oh, of course, no doubt. WPFW is always part of the folks of the UNIACL. You know, we love WPFW. Without WPFW, we know a lot of things wouldn't be happening when it comes to communications and information.
It is the most important.
Yeah, Jazz and Justice Station.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Yeah. How can people get involved and how can they contact you?
Well, you know, they can, the date is August 13th and they just have to go to eLife.
Okay.
And we will be putting out information leaflets. We'll be having on our Facebook, page, our websites that we have. Those information will be going out, and so people will, you know, it's more to come. It's August, and it's still a little early, but we're putting out stuff up there so that people will have information.
Excellent. Now, UNIA has been very involved with the Moses Cemetery struggle to stop the desecration of one of the largest and most significant African burial grounds in the world. And why has UNIA played such an important and leadership role in stopping the desecration of African ancestors?
Well, that's part of our history. And we are committed to bringing respect to African people. And the desecration of that cemetery shows that the oppressors, they still disrespect us, even to the point of desecrating a cemetery. And so we're out there with you, with BACC, Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition, to fight against this sort of disrespectful behavior of the developers of Montgomery County. And that includes the people from the Montgomery County government who are in the pockets. Well, maybe not. That might be an overstatement or an understatement. But of course, they're they're complicit. Let's just say that they're complicit with what's happening there, as far as we're concerned. So we're with the coalition, so as to stop the desecration, one, and to bring some restitution to what has happened there. I mean, they've not only desecrated the cemetery; they're putting a self-storage. They're putting a self-storage or building over that cemetery. And you know, what do you do with things like that? How do you treat people like that? It's inhumane, as far as I'm concerned. It's inhumane. Very disrespectful. And it shows what people think of the African heritage.
Mm-hmm. Now, on August 25th and 26th, BACC will be back in court fighting off attempts by Housing Opportunities Commission and 1784 to dismiss the lawsuits. How do you understand that a Housing Opportunities Commission is spending millions of dollars fighting a small community organization when there's so many people in Montgomery County who need housing? I mean, how do you understand that?
Well, again, you know, that they're part of the Montgomery County government, or somewhat attached, and they're in, as far as I'm concerned, they're in the pockets of developers. Why else would they do that? Again, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame, you know, that we can have people who like, they're attached to the Montgomery County government. Is a Democrat Party government controlled, and they're supposed to be what, the progressives of the area, of the state of Maryland, D.C., etc. And there we have a government that is, you know, disrespecting African people. That's how we should know that when we see behavior like this, that they're not to be trusted. Democrats or Republicans, what do you say about them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the same.
Mm-hmm. What would Marcus Garvey say about the silence of Black people in the face of so much oppression in the 21st century? How do you think he would explain that Black people are not in the streets right now condemning what, you know, are just egregious wrongs against Black people? I mean, how do you rationalize that?
You know,
how do you understand it, I should say?
Yeah, during the period when Marcus Garvey was alive, and, you know, he went through a whole lot, struggling to organize African people, Black people all over the world. And he met with a lot of people who became his enemies, or he became their enemies because of what he was doing. Because like some people, they get comfortable because money is coming into them, and they, you know, they have a good life, and they don't consider the rest of the world to be part of their world. They only consider it's a selfish kind of choice. Now, what he said about some of these people is that, you know, Black people are going to wait until their backs are up against the wall before they understand that they have to fight, that they have to put up a fight to free themselves. And so it would not be a surprise to him that these things are happening. You know, we had a lot of people during his time in the 20s when you had the Harlem Renaissance, so to speak, when some of his people, you know, were turncoats. They went over because he couldn't pay a whole lot of people. So, you know, they went to those folks who could pay them. And so we had turncoats. They betrayed Garvey. You know, so it would not be a surprise that you have people who are out there, and either they're afraid because you know, they don't control the economy or their own economy. And so they're at the mercy of others, and so they're afraid of retribution. So, you know, it's not something he wouldn't understand, but I think he would condemn it and call on Black folks to get out there and fight for their rights.
I think that's a beautiful analysis of sort of the state that we're in, that 50 years ago, many of the same structures that are in place today were there, and that they still continue to limit the ability of people to exercise their political rights. So thank you so much, Baba Mosey. Would you like just to spend the next 1 minute and tell people again about the conference, the dates of the conference, where it's going to be at, and some of the major highlights?
Oh, sure. Well, it will be starting August 13th until the 17th in Capitol Heights at the E-Life restaurant. And, you know, we'll have a youth conference on Thursday, August 14th. It's young people, not necessarily young people of the UNIACL, but young people of the Washington, D.C. area and others who are coming in. They will have a youth conference, and they'll be discussing matters that are affecting young people. And they'll be discussing ways of which young people can come together to change the situation. You know, it'll be a discourse of action that young people need to take. On the Friday, the 15th, that's another closed session, but we also have an entertainment part of that day. The Proverbs Reggae Band will be in the evening, we'll have a marketplace, African marketplace, and there's an admission fee because, of course, it's an entertainment situation. And on Saturday, we have a closed session in the morning up until 1, and from 1 to 6 p.m., we have the tribute to the legacy of Bruno Karashidi, the famous African historian and traveler around the world, and former UNIACL RC 2020 traveling ambassador. And then on that day, we will also have speakers, Tony Browder.
We have 1 minute.
Yes. Okay, Tony Browder. We have Paul Coates, Nkechi Taifa. We have Akili Nkrumah, Sengor Baye, Dendai Johnson. That's the Minister of Education. Akili Nkrumah is the President General of the UNIACLRC 2020. And so we also have an entertainment side of that. We have Jabari Exum drummers. We have singer Free Benjamin. We have rapper Jabari Shaw. And there are others who will become. So we also still would have our food sales and African marketplace.
Okay. I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. But I
yes,
just
okay. No problem.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to expound on you and I, the Rehabilitating Committee 2020.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate you, and we appreciate the work that you're doing in our community. So thank you so much. I look forward to having you back on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will take a short break for the social justice calendar.
Peace. This is your social justice calendar for the week of July 21st, 2025. Wednesday, July 23rd is Pan-African Community Action's next Asada Shakur Study Group session. Cops, Curfews, and the Criminalization of Black Youth in D.C., 7 to 9 p.m. at the Black Workers and Wellness Center on 2500 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. More info and registration is on Criminalizing Black D.C. Youth, part2.eventbrite.com. Saturday, July 26th, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., join the conversation with Kamau Franklin. A collection of essays from the Stop Cop City movement, No Cop City, No Cop World, brings together gripping reports from organizers on the ground and powerful reflections from radical academics located at Sankofa Video Books and Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. More info on Sankofa.com. Sunday, July 27th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., join Haiti on Our Mind with Free Benjamin and Haile Gerima at Sankofa Video Books and Cafe, 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. For more info, visit Sankofa.com. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar connects you to grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. This is due by Thursday at 5 p.m., at least 1 week in advance of your event. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast.
Good morning. This is Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo. You are listening to What's at Stake on WPFW FM. Our next guests are attorney Malik Shabazz, who is the co-founder of the Black Lawyers for Justice, Friends of President Traore in the West, Elder Emoja Ajabu, Black Panther Movement, Pan-African Affairs Director, and Envoy Sifikwe Balika, who was a delegation member to a trip to Burkina Faso. Good morning, Mr. Shabazz, and welcome to What's at Stake.
Good morning. Dr. Marsha, and I'm happy to be on What's at Stake this morning. Happy Great. To be on with my comrades in this struggle.
Thank you. Let me also welcome again, Elder, I hope I'm pronouncing your names right, so please feel free to correct me, Elder Emoja Ajabu.
That is correct.
Did I do a good job?
Excellent job.
Thank you. And also Envoy Sifikwe Balika.
Yes, you, greetings.
Hi, greetings.
Yeah. The H is silent. It's Sipiwe Baleka. Oh. And I greet you all the way from my ancestral homeland of Guinea-Bissau on the West African coast.
Well, we are very honored to have you and all of you. Thank you. Welcome to What's at Stake. Attorney Shabazz, you have a long history of fighting for civil rights in the United States, but now you are supporting and defending not just the president of the West African nation of Burkina Faso, President Ibrahim Traore, but the liberation movement that is spreading throughout the continent. One only has to look at what's happening in Liberia to understand the impact of what's happening in Burkina Faso. What triggered this commitment to the fight for the liberation in Burkina Faso and the Sahel Alliance?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the question. It is true, as the leader of Black Lawyers for Justice, that I have been since a Howard University law school graduate, I've been fighting as a lawyer in the courts of America in civil rights. But I also, as a student of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, a student of Louis Farrakhan, Kwame Ture, and a lifelong Black nationalist and Pan-Africanist, I've been fighting for the liberation of my people. We have been inspired recently towards our original goals of the complete liberation of our people. We're inspired today by a young man, President Ibrahim Traore, the president of Burkina Faso, and we're inspired by the leadership of the Sahel states in Africa, because they represent to us the hope that Africa can truly be free and independent and break the yoke of neocolonialism, colonialism, and outside white influence and domination. They represent hope because, you know, we have fallen in a period of despair where we believe that Africa was permanently dysfunctional. And we honored the nation of Burkina Faso for helping us to change that. And so we visited, we started by making our contacts, at least I did, with the Burkina Faso embassy. I want to honor the ambassador Koulibaly, who and brother Buddha and Dabu, who may be listening. We started with good meetings, and our meetings were not symbolic. Our meetings were substantive. We founded our coalition. It's called the Friends of President Traoré in the West. And we are determined to help the nation of Burkina Faso to become self-sustaining, for the citizens to have better lives, and to organize the West to use our skills, our talents, our degrees, our resources to help the Sahel states and Burkina Faso become independent, because that is in our collective best interest. So we started with that meeting. To conclude, we started with that initial meeting at the embassy, Elder Momoja Ajabu and I, and then I immediately dispatched and sponsored a delegation which consisted of the Afro-descendant nation, the Black Panther Movement, Envoy Baleka, and others. And we are moving, and that delegation was very successful. They will tell you about it. And now we are moving, we're on a permanent path to help this nation. It's not symbolic. We are sending school supplies. We're sending resources. We are gathering Black professionals from all throughout the nation. We have forums coming up to help with communication and information to combat disinformation. And we have a real program that we're here talking about to gain support, because there's a threat to have the Ibrahim Traoré and our other leadership in the Sahel to not succeed. There's a threat there. We aim as Black people, Pan-Africanists, to counter that threat. And so that's why we're here. And we've had a very successful delegation, and we're just getting started with our determined efforts.
Now, one more question. How has France and NATO countries reacted to, as well as the United States, our president, reacted to this new liberation, these new liberation policies, a country that has decided to break the chains of colonialism and white domination? I mean, how have France and these other countries, including our own, reacted to President Traoré and this new wave of liberation movements in Africa?
Certainly they're not hailing. I'm sorry. Certainly they are not hailing this movement. The West, which is headed by America and in this instance, France, being the colonial power that was ejected, President Ibrahim Traoré, his government in Burkina Faso have ejected the French military as well as the Sahel states. They have rejected the French military presence, and they're rejecting all of the vestiges of colonialism. I would say that the reaction could be overt and covert. I think we're fortunate right now that that President Traoré, whose popularity is increasing, I think we're fortunate right now that he is not being demonized here in the United States of America. I'm sorry, my phone had cut out. I'm sorry, we're fortunate that he is not being demonized as Gaddafi was and others in America yet. His popularity is growing. France does not like what he's doing. And there's a jihadist element. There's African Black people who are not Pan-Africanist, who are claiming allegiances to, foreign or Arab Islamic organizations that are seeking to topple, overthrow the progress that is being made by the pro-African leadership in that region. We don't know. We suspect that maybe these colonial powers may, as they have in the past, work with who they call terrorists. But that's not a proven case. So we can say that they have not opened their arms, but there's room to breathe. There's room at this point for President Traore and President Tajani and President Goita of Niger and Mali. There's room for them to grow right now without coming under attack. We're fortunate for that. And so we got room, and we're moving fast and aggressively to support this independence, because we know that as the independence grows, the reaction and the pushback from the West will come, and we cannot and will not tolerate another Thomas Sankara, Patrice Lumumba, and tolerate African leaders just being wiped off the map by America and the West, and we cry tears and put up posters. That day is done. So we're in heavy preparation right now.
And Mr. Balika, is Balika, right? Mr. Balika.
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners, how did France benefit from the resources of Burkina Faso? I mean, you know, why is France so incredibly upset about this break in relationship between Burkina Faso and its country?
Great question. It actually has its roots in the declaration of war that was issued by Pope Nicholas V in 1452, which launched the entire invasion of this region. In that declaration of war, it said it gave the various European powers the authority to invade, fight, subjugate, take all the property, movable and immovable. That means everything that they found in the land, and reduce their people to perpetual servitude.
Let me ask you a question. Does that also include us? Does that include Black people in this country? When they talk about taking all the resources, was that also a part of what, you know, Europeans like to call the slave trade?
Absolutely. When you say us in this country, referring to Black people, or what I like to refer to as, New African or Afro-descendant people, it was this declaration of war, right, that resulted in you being in the United States and throughout the Americas, because it was an invasion of the African continent. 100 million Africans died, and 12 million were trafficked as prisoners of war. And many of them ended up in the United States. You have the Caribbean, Central and South America. So all of this is related. But what's important, to get back to your question, that original document, that declaration of war, was prompted by the desire of European powers in the Catholic Church to find the gold mines that were made famous by Mansa Musa, coming out of this same Sahel region, who had made that great pilgrimage to Mecca at a time when Europe was suffering from a great famine and what they call a bubonic plague, where they had lost 30 to 50% of their population. They were pitiful, and they saw that the Sahel region, right, had gold, and it had all this international trade. And so they invaded West Africa specifically to find the gold in Burkina Faso, the gold mines. Now, when you fast forward to the present, France ended up holding a monopoly war contract called the Asiento that was given by the Catholic Church to France to have the exclusive right to take all of the possessions in the region, everything, the gold, and reduce the people to perpetual servitude. Eventually, you get to the colonial period where that perpetual servitude is just taking different forms. At this point, we call it colonization. And then a little later in history, it took a new form that we call neo-colonization. And France had devised this system that even after the French controlled territories achieved independence, they had to sign agreements that forced them into subservience to France in terms of the currency, in terms of the banking structure, and in terms of the infrastructure and the extractive resources. This is exactly what the Burkinabe people and the courageous, bold president, Ibrahim Traoré, as well as the presidents of Mali and Niger, they have finally said, look, we are going to end neocolonialism in the Sahel region. And this is why it's so important to all of us in the United States, because as Malcolm told us, right, until there is a strong and united Africa, we Black people in the West and everywhere on the planet, all African people, we will never be respected until there's a strong Africa. And the Sahel region is now that embryo that we believe will lead us to a united African states.
Elder Ajabu, thank you so much. Elder Ajabu, we saw the way President Trump humiliated South African President Cyril Ramaphosa by stating that whites in South Africa are being attacked by Black people. And then he went on to humiliate the Liberian President Joseph Boakai, who he complimented on his, quote, good English. Now, both of these leaders sat in the Oval Office and absorbed the humiliation. Does President Traoré represent this new generation of African leaders, or is he the descendant or legacy of President Kwame Nkrumah, Muammar Gaddafi, or Malcolm X? It goes without saying that the U.S. played a role in the demise of all of these leaders. What are some of the major lessons that Africans in this country or Black people should learn from the experience and the struggle that's going on right now in Burkina Faso?
That's an interesting question. And it has to be put in a historical context, which your first guest, Baba Mossi, was laying the foundation of the thought that Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, laid down to say that the way that we were being treated here in America, that we didn't have to put up with that treatment because we could go home and establish ourselves on the African continent, and the people are welcoming. When you talk about the attitude that is running rampant in the Sahel with Mali and Niger and beloved Burkina Faso, it's the attitude that is expressing itself that Marcus Garvey said that we could leave this madness that's happening here in America and go to the African continent and be embraced by welcome home. While we were there in Burkina Faso, we got access to almost all of the executive branch of the government. And each minister that we had meetings with, everyone said, welcome home. And even said, even though we're looking for a partnership, because we're talking about now going home and developing that land. They said, even though we're looking for a partnership to do that, and there's things that we need in order to get that done, beyond the partnership, we understood and understand that you were stolen from this land and taken to America and beyond, and that you're being treated inappropriately. And you don't have to put up with that. We understand that even though there's a partnership, you part of the family. And they expressed that to the degree that they were, in fact, the president of the Alliance for the Sahel States, the Honorable Beyazi, excuse me if I mispronounce it, but the brother said that it done him well, it done the country well, it done the leadership well, to understand that they were talking when he was speaking at the United Nations, and we were listening to the degree that we showed up. And he said that you showed up with the right attitude. You wasn't trying to be an American. You wasn't trying to be an ugly American. You was trying to be a proud Pan-African. And because you showed up like that, we understand that our message is getting out there, because we're waging a psychological war. If we want our people to act right, they got to think right. And in order for them to think right, they got to come in contact with the thoughts to which that they define themselves not from where they were born, but where they come from. And because you come with that attitude, we are giving you access that we haven't given anybody else. And you got to understand that we see you as a steel jacket, as a bulletproof jacket that has surrounded us, because we understand that we are under a threat. And you are our protection. Welcome home, brother, sister. And because of that attitude, we're talking about that those of us who think like that, and Brother Baba Mosi was right on target with his thinking, we get organized and we move to develop that land, where it's that land that is the richest land on the face of the earth is there and has been gifted to us by the God of our serving, of our creation. He gifted it to us, and it should be for the benefit of us. And it can be by the benefit of us, because the brother on the continent, his job is to secure it. The brother and sister's job in America, we are the most educated. If you're looking at the demographics of Africans in the world, we're the most educated. So we can take that expertise to the African continent, develop it for the benefit of us all. And they share with us. They said that this land is for us. We are Pan-Africans.
Right, right.
There's plenty.
Yes. I mean, it's. I want to hear more, but I'd like to, thank you so much. Beautifully said. I'd like to hear, Attorney Shabazz, you know, I read your press release very carefully, and it stated that the delegation that went from the United States to Burkina Faso held strategic meetings with key members of the government, including the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Discussions centered on building unity and lasting solidarity among people of African descent worldwide, reaffirming the importance of cultural, economic, and social connections rooted in Pan-African values. Attorney Shabazz, what concrete steps? I mean, I know this is early in the process, so we're not expecting, you know, that, you know, the kind of detail that you'd have from a project that's 5 or 10 years old. But what initial steps will be taken to carry out the process of building unity and solidarity?
Thank you so much. First of all, I also want to give credit to Mr. Basaloma Bazier, who is the president of the commission of the organization of the Alliance of the Sahel States. These are states that are in alliance: Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. And there's a coordination that goes on the grassroots organizational level. So I want to give credit to my brother Wataru, who on the ground there, and Mr. Basaloma Bazier, who's the official representative and tie between the states who are under our great three leaders. We're calling for unity. First thing I want everybody that will watch this broadcast and is listening to Malik Zulu Shabazz on this line, that we are calling for unity around support for Burkina Faso and the Sahel states. That's an important step. We do not claim, and I do not claim, exclusivity. We're not maneuvering for primacy here. What we're doing is, based on our experience, we have lengthy organizational experience and capacity. So what I'm doing as a leader is I'm organizing other leaders, like these gentlemen I have on the phone, and I'm making a call out to any Black or African person who supports this agenda, that we want to work with you, us, friends of President Traore in the West. We want to bring about coordination and consolidation of our love and respect for President Ibrahim Traore so that we're effective. And so our arms are open and our hearts are open to unity in this hour. That's the first step. The second step is, yes, Elder Ajabu is correct that we've been warmly embraced at the highest levels of government, up to the prime minister and word from the president himself. They're appreciative of our efforts. So as we stated in the very beginning, we're sticking to our word. What we're here to do is, number one, is
We have two minutes.
What we're doing, ma'am, every skilled, right now, we're gathering Black people who are engineers, agriculturalists, teachers, educators, lawyers, those experienced in international business and trade, those who are experienced in humanitarian efforts and shipping cargoes of help abroad. We're bringing them together in a formal process so that we may substantively help this revolution to be sustained by helping the people that it's based on. Okay, so that's where we are, and we're making progress. And right now, what we're doing is making progress in the information campaign. By our delegation going there and being there, we are spreading this information and recruiting because we need a coalition and a mass movement here in the Western Hemisphere to support this effort. We're well on our way to building a coalition and a mass movement to bring skills and direct help and effort to the development of Burkina Faso. That's what we're doing, and we're making good progress in this hour.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much. How can people reach you?
Yes, okay. You can, two ways. To sign up for the Skills Bank, you can go to afrodescendant.org. Afrodescendant.org. Tap into the Skills Bank. We need your skills. My email is attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. Attorney.shabazz, S-H-A-B-A-Z-Z at yahoo.com. And I can also be reached at 240-688-0735. 240-688-0735. Please join us so we can help our motherland and we can help ourselves. And also, we support your efforts in Montgomery County. And I, as an attorney, I look forward to talking to you because I have your back and I appreciate your fight.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This is not the last conversation. This is not the last. This is the first conversation of many conversations. So I thank you so much. I appreciate the work that you're doing. And I think, you know, we need to have a lot more public forums so that we can educate our community about what is happening in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. So thank you so much. And thank you for sharing your experiences with the WPFW community. Thank you.
Thank you for having all of us this morning.
Thank you. Well, I think that's a wrap for today. I'd like to thank my guests today, Attorney Malik Shabazz, Elder Ajabu, Mr. Balaka, and Baba Mosi Matsimela. Thanks to executive producer Verna Avery Brown. This program is engineered by Michael Nasella. I am Marsha Coleman Adebayo. We are celebrating the 22nd year of the signing of the No Fear Act, the first civil rights and whistleblower law of the 21st century. WPFW supports whistleblowers.
I'm hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up.
African Diaspora International Film Festival, Africa World Now Project, and GWU Africana Studies Program present the 18th Annual African Diaspora International Film Festival, D.C., August 1st to the 3rd, featuring a film on Walter Rodney, films on Black musical traditions, and more. Receptions and Q&As, ADIFFDC, from August 1st to the 3rd at the GWU Student Center. Tickets and schedule at nyadiff.org or at 212-864-1760. ADIFF, where Black Life Matters. WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time. Are you
ready? The Birchmere presents Hiroshima, July 24th. Sheila E., July 30th. Switch, August 10th. And Jazz, Funk, and Soul, featuring Jeff Lorber, Everett Harp, and Paul Jackson Jr. on August 13th. Details at birchmere.com.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
From August 3rd through the 16th, during our summer pledge drive, we present WPFW, 48 Years of Centering Blackness. We'll commemorate Black August and celebrate not only the freedom fighters, political prisoners, and those who have perished in the struggle for Black liberation, but also the scholars, musicians, and poets whose work has served the Black liberation struggle. There are forces working to erase the contributions and significance of Black people. Your contribution ensures that WPFW is not erased and that the voices of Black people throughout the diaspora continue to be platformed here. Donations can be made anytime at WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, WPFW listeners. Summertime is here. Words, Beats, and Life has the event for your family and friends this season. The second annual DMV Made Festival is happening Saturday, July 26th on the National Mall, a one-day celebration of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region, promoting the intersections of arts and culture, plus health and wellness. With live music by Go-Go Legends, EU, featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mesthetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus Family Fun Zone, Poetry and Storytelling Pavilion, Interactive Dance Stage, Live Art Installations, Hands-On Workshops, and Health and Wellness Pavilion. July 26th on the National Mall. Full details at wblinc.org/DMVMade. See you there. Brought to you by Words, Beats, and Life with support from WPFW.
Jazzy Sundays in Anacostia, an 8-week jazz and R&B concert series happening this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. in the heart of the Anacostia Arts District at 1234 Marion Barry Avenue. Food vendors will be on site and lawn chairs are welcome. Jazzy Sundays in Anacostia runs through Sunday, September the 7th. Details at anacostiabid.org.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music.